Hi, this is Scott Rollins, and welcome to Ultra Banda Sounds, exploring the music from the other side of here and now and then. Today we've got John Collins here from Accra in Ghana. Hi, John.
Hello.
The Bokor Studios, John, you ran them in Ghana. You recorded many different bands, different genres. Can you tell us something about the name Bokor, what it means, and about your studios?
Okay, the name in Shri or Aga, Bokor means coolness or collectedness, calmness. And the reason I took that name originally, not for my studio, but for my Bokor band in the 70s, is that I used to play with the band at the Napoleon Club in Accra, run by Faisal Helwani. And he had a band called Basa Basa. Now that means pandemonium. And what happened is the band broke up, and I realized the name of a band sometimes affects the band. So if you call your band Pandemonium, then you're going to have a problem. So I decided to use the opposite expression in the Twi language. So Basa Basa means something like by heart, giddy giddy, rough.
Okay.
And Boko means the opposite. So I purposely picked the name Boko.
But is that like the Afro-American cool?
Exactly. It's daddy cool.
Daddy cool.
Exactly. That's exactly right. What it is. It means mature collectedness. Or calmness.
And where? What? When? Why did you set up the studios? Obviously, you were a musician yourself. You toured a lot, but you set up studios to record musicians. Why did you? Why?
Well, it was because of the revolution and the curfew. I wasn't planning to run a recording studio. I what had happened is that I'd moved into my dad's house, and I was going to continue. I'd taken my Bokor band to Britain to work with West Indians. We came back with equipment and some recording equipment, a Porter studio, four-track. And so I was going to do my own recordings because I'd worked in a lot of studios in Ghana and Nigeria, and I wasn't really satisfied with the working conditions in those studios or the psychology of the engineers.
No,
it was the psychology of the engineers. The engineers were so pompous that they thought they knew more than the musicians.
Oh.
So I wanted to have my own studio for my own band. And then there was the revolution. Rawlings took over. For 2.5 years, bands couldn't move in Ghana. We were grounded.
This is the late 70s, early 80s?
This would be around 81 to 83.
Okay.
You couldn't move in the evening. There was a night curfew. And I was sitting on all this equipment. So I turned Bokor Band into Bokor Studio.
Okay.
And then the musicians came to me, and if they got arrested, it wasn't my concern. But it means that I didn't have to go out in the night and get myself arrested.
Tell us about your studio. What did it look like?
Well, first of all, I started in the kitchen, and then my wife started to complain. So I had to build a swish, a mud studio at the back of my father's farm. Mud bricks.
Mud bricks.
Yeah. It was semi-open air, and at that time, the whole area was agricultural. My father, in fact, when he retired from the university, he was teaching philosophy. He became a farmer. He was a philosophical farmer.
Oh.
Yeah. So the whole place was very beautiful, and you could the ambient sound.
One of the CDs that you've released recently is on our label, Ultra Banda, Vintage Palm Wine, in which you have three of the exponents of the old acoustic guitar, palm wine, two of whom are now deceased.
Yeah.
Could you tell us something about the musicians and how, and tell us which are your favorite tracks that actually came out on that, and maybe we can hear some later on.
Well, let me start with the most senior of them, Kwame Mensah. He'd been a friend of mine since the 1970s when he used to come and stay with me in my house in Jamestown. I don't know how to describe this guy. He would be something like Robert Johnson is for a blues guitarist.
Could you compare the Ghanaian palm wine music with the Delta blues as it relates to the electric blues up in Chicago with the palm wine bands, the orchestras that came in the 50s, 60s?
To some extent, yeah. Although it was sort of parallel evolution rather than direct connection, you got the growth of guitar bands in the around about 1900, 1920s, particularly the maritime influence coming in from sailors. It wasn't called palm wine music in those days. It was called Osibisaba, where the name Osibisa comes from, the Afro-rock band from Ghana. And these were basically very small groups, and they were itinerant in many cases, and they played in dockside bars and palm wine bars. It was a little bit like these itinerant blues musicians from Louisiana.
Okay.
And also the topics they sang about were similar in a way. They weren't as melancholy as the blues, maybe, but they were about everyday matters, social commentary.
Kwame Mensah is the son of one of the
He's the nephew. Yes, he's the nephew of Kwame Asari, or Jacob Sam, who was the first to ever record in Ghana of that idiom.
Which in the 20s, I guess.
1928. They came to London to Zonophone and did the first recordings of High Life, or guitar band High Life.
Okay.
So Kwame Nzo was his nephew. With Kwao, I think Kalabuli was an interesting song, because that was the name of corruption, that was a corrupt government that we were emerging out of. That particular song, because the word Kalabuli means corruption. It's a corruption of the word corruption, actually. And it was the way that the government before Rawlings had been typified as a corrupt government. So when Rawlings came to power, he did what they call spring cleaning the country or trying to get rid of corruption. And then Kalabuli was one of the songs they played on the radio because it even mentioned soldiers, Rawlings. Even Rawlings is mentioned in the song because at that time everybody wanted to get rid of corruption. Uh-huh. So they were supporting Rawlings. But the other song, which is very nice by him, is the one about Mammy Water.
Which is, of course, a pan-West African it's phenomenon, isn't it?
It's not, in fact, Kwao's song. Mammy Water is a Liberian song. It's almost 100 years old, and it was a crew song belonging to the crew people, who were the people who first developed the finger-picking West African technique on the guitar and spread it to Ghana and Nigeria and so on. And Mammy Water was a cult dedicated to an African sea goddess. Uh-huh. But it was actually that particular cult was also a product of the crew people because they were sailing or on board steamships and sailing ships from the late 18th century. European ships, they were recruited on board because they were long-distance mariners, fishermen. So the Europeans recognized their maritime skills and hired them on board ship, which is where they developed their cross-fingering technique. Can I die tomorrow? Can I die tomorrow? Can I die tomorrow? Mommy, what I go bury me? Can I die tomorrow? Can I die tomorrow? Can I die tomorrow? Mommy, what I go bury me? Any day, any time, any time, any day, mommy, what I go bury me? Any day, any time, and I die tomorrow, mommy, what I go bury me?
Tio Jazz, that's the second artist.
Tio is another person who I became very close to. I'd met him in the 70s when I was running a band, and he was living in Jamestown. And then I lost contact with him altogether for many years. And then in the 80s, when I was living in my dad's house in Accra, and there were some timber mills around the area, Tio suddenly turned up because he was also an experimenter. He was a sort of a man who he was devising a machine that could burn sawdust instead of charcoal, mm-hmm. and therefore saving the forests, I guess. But he was a sort of an inventor. And he didn't realize I was next to this sawmill, so he discovered I was living there, and we became friends. And then I got him a job at the university, because when I was started to teach at the university in 95, by that time Kwame Nsa had died, and so that nobody was teaching high life guitar. So I started to teach high life guitar.
But if we backtrack a bit, Tio was an electric high life dance musician. He went to the Congo. He played all over, if I'm not mistaken. And well, how did he come back to his acoustic roots?
Was no, it? Because you know the thing about him is, for a start, he started playing the guitar in the 50s. His real name is Ampuma, mm-hmm. and it was Ampuma's guitar band in the 50s, which was an acoustic band, like all the others, like Ike Nyami. Okay. So he later gravitated to the electric guitar, moved to the Congo. And that's later on when I met him, he was playing electric guitar. But when I got him a job at the university, because I needed somebody to help me with the guitar teaching.
If you look down along the track list, John, if you're the DJ. Mm. What are your favorite tracks? If we had to choose one track from each one of the artists, which one would you choose?
I think from T.O. Jazz, I like Way Tai Mama. Yeah. I just like the song. It's a really bouncy.
It wails, though, yeah. too. I mean, the backing vocalist is deep feeling.
Yeah, it's an emotional song. I'm sure it has a... I never talked to him about who Way Tai Mama was exactly, but I'm sure it was somebody he met.
Is he bemoaning the death of someone in that
No,
song?
Waytime Ama is a lady who's a waytime girl. You know, she's wandering around.
You're John Collins. I'm a machine humble. Emedi abrojo kisimo broni tamini kwesi fofi tamini kwa bere kuina ba ye kwa kraya ba ye dia make swa bim bim ba hode abramu di no ya sense nyumai Thank you. pity, pity, be good, you come out, me find ye. Me find ye. Me find ye, what you man say, me find ye. Me find ye, what you man say, me find ye.
Mensa to Tio Jazz, we have a generational link.
There's a generation, and the same with Konimo.
Can you explain who Konimo is?
Konimo would be more or less the same generation as Tio Jazz.
Okay.
Quite a little bit younger than Kwame Mensa, both of them. But Konimo's a different kettle of fish altogether from the other two in that he's really a cosmopolitan person. I mean, he's biochemist. Laboratory assistant,
uh-huh.
And he comes from Kumasi. Uh-huh. And I first met him in the 70s when I was going to discover what I thought would be a man living in a small village because of his music. He was trying to revamp palm wine music in the 1970s when everybody had gone electric. He was like Eric Clapton for blues. He'd gone unplugged.
Uh-huh.
And it was a conscious decision to go back to traditional resources. But he kept the acoustic guitar because the guitar's been so thoroughly Africanized. But the other instruments, he was using a Prapensua, again, these uh-huh. types of
but local. He was a student of different kinds of music than just high life, I understand.
Yes, he was. He traveled because of his training. He went to Britain, went all over the world, and fell in love with the bossa nova, modern jazz, and so on, and worked with a lot of jazz guitarists.
Uh-huh.
Came back to Ghana and then made that decision in the late 60s to go back to his roots and go back to this earlier palm wine style of music.
Uh-huh.
Because by that time, people like Kwame Mensa and Tio Jazz were playing electric guitars.
Right. Yeah. When you recorded him in his backyard, there are two wonderful instrumental guitar duets with
yeah.
Ofit Umasi. Can you explain what they're doing there? Have they modernized stuff that Kwame Mensa...
Yes, that's exactly that's really what happened, I think, is that Konimo went back quite in a sort of an ideological way. He came to a decision to go back to the roots of guitar palm wine high life to the 1920s and develop this style with his friend Jumasi. And I'll tell you one thing, when Konimo heard this recording and I gave him the CD, he told me that he wept because that friend of his, Jumasi, died about eight or 9 years ago. Okay. And that was his best... that's why when he traveled to America, I went with him, because he hadn't trained another guitarist by that time. He has a guitarist now, a second guitarist, uh-huh. like a duet, but he's never found anybody like Jumasi.
So and your recordings were really...
He actually wept, because he said it was like the guy was in the room with him.
Okay.
I mean, the spirit was back uh-huh. because of the music. And he was very happy. He wept out of happiness, not
mm-hmm.
out of...
I hear.
Yeah, yeah.
But Yam Pomsa, of course, is one of the tracks that they played together. And Dagomba.
Yeah, Dagomba is one of the Liberian styles of music, which I was mentioning, the Liberian seamen mm-hmm. who developed these early forms of guitar playing. And they had names like Mainline, Dagomba, which was the name of a ship, And another style they had was called Fireman, which is the name of a stoker on board a steamship.
Thank you.
Now, to move away from the high life, you recorded, shall we say, more contemporary music of your contemporaries around when you talked about the curfews, etc. Now, we all use terms like Afro rock and Afro beat and Afro this and Afro that, which are, of course, I guess, crude approximations about what things really are, but they're a way to denote different styles or different tendencies. You recorded some Afro rock and some Afro beat. I suppose Afro rock would be the progenitors or the offspring of what Ossibisa was doing, and I would say Afro beat what Fela Kuti.
Well, Afro beat, I wouldn't say that it's Afro beat is simply a copy of Fela's music. Basically, what Afro beat we used to call it before it was called Afro beat, it was called Afro soul, and there were a number of bands in Nigeria and Ghana and maybe other parts of Africa that were experimenting. Don't forget that James Brown came to Nigeria in 1970.
I was just going to ask
And
as early as 1970.
Yes, and even when I started in the music scene in 69, I mean, James Brown was absolute king. I mean, not physically, but through his records.
Mm-hmm.
There were all sorts of experimentations being done. There was a guy called Shagun Buckner in Nigeria who had a music called Afro Soul. Fela was beginning to develop his sound. In Ghana, we had the Big Beats. And I also recorded that guy on the a band called Blekete.
Okay.
And the Big Beats leader was called Lord Lyndon, the keyboard player, who was later unfortunately killed. Was killed in a car accident. But he also was involved with one of the bands which I recorded, which is a band called Blekete or Brekete, which was an Ewe band that played Afro rock.
This whole interview talking about Bokor. You had Bokor Studios, of course. You had your own company, Bokor Sounds, which is the recording studio, etc. And you had your own band, Bokor Band. And
yes.
Of course, I've heard some of those tracks. There's some Afrobeat in there, and there's all kinds of styles. Tell us about the Bokor Band.
Okay, I formed that band around about 1975.
Does it still exist?
No. It disappeared in the curfew of 83 and was transmuted into my recording studio.
You recorded yourself in the studio?
No.
No?
All the recordings I did with Bokor Bands were done at Ghana Films.
Okay.
Because I didn't have a studio in the 70s. So what happened is it was basically a band that played high life, ga, folk music, local Efe Akbar Jah music. We played a cross-section, but we included Afrobeat because by 75, of course, Fela's music, and I'd met Fela by then and worked with him, and actually had played at his club with a band called the Bunzus, which was a sister band to Bassa Bassa and Hey Jolly Sounds. So what happened is that I wrote two Afro beats called Onupa Shwapo and Ye Ye Ku Ye with the Bunzu Sounds at Faisal's club. And these songs were released in America by the Makosa label, but well, I don't know how this happened. Faisal says it wasn't his fault. The names were changed and my name was removed. So my songs were actually released in New York around about 75, these two songs. And I didn't find out about it for another 3 or 4 years.
The editions, Makosa, they brought out
that's
Fela
right.
as well.
That's right, yes.
The 80s in the States.
Yes, exactly those. So anyway, maybe they didn't want, I don't know, maybe they didn't want a white person. I don't know what the reason they took my name off. But
would you say the Bokor Band was John Collins, the musician, amalgamating, synthesizing all the different things that he had recorded himself?
No, so because most of the songs weren't mine.
But the style of music you were playing, what the band, the repertoire of the band, would that reflect a cross-section of the different styles that was being played at the time, or is that too easy?
No, well, that would be true, because in the band, I'd been playing Afro beats and Afro rock anyway, and some high life. And then I had a very good Eve master drummer who could play just about everything, and had also been in high life dance bands called Dan Bernini. And then I recruited a group of musicians. In fact, in the end, I married one of them, my first wife, from a band called Agbafoy, which was a Ga cultural group that played a sort of a synthesis of Ga music with guitar music, using traditional percussion and guitar. Wow. There was quite a high turnover at one point of the band, but it crystallized into this one group that did a series of recordings in the late 70s, and I re-recorded some of those Afro beats that I'd lost to Faisal. And the recordings that I did in my... I still didn't do them in my studio. I did them in Ghana Films, which was then a two-track studio. Mm-hmm. It was later that I set up my own studio. But the recordings I've got of my own Boko band, mm-hmm, were done at Ghana Films.
What are your favorite tracks?
Well, Anupa Shwapu and Yeah Yeah Kuya, because those two songs, we played them at the Africa Shrine. When I went to the Africa Shrine in 74, and Fela was actually one of the co-producers of that album.
Oh.
Yes, the album that... my name disappeared on. And it was got nothing to do with Fela, or probably with Faisal. It was probably a decision by these two black Americans who run Makosa. I don't know. I never found out. What happened is we did those recordings and with Faisal, and Fela was the co-producer. But unfortunately, Fela was beaten up and was tear-gassed. In fact, we were all tear-gassed. We were staying with him, or opposite his house.
In Lagos.
Yeah, we were staying at the Africa Shrine, which was also a hotel. So we didn't see that much of Fela, but he was meant to be our co-producer. But I'm sort of proud of those songs, because they really were sort of born, or at least outdoored in, or christened, if that's the word.
John, if you got, if you would like to wrap up, how what is Bokor now?
Well, the transformation is it started as a band, got transmuted into a recording studio because of difficult problems in the 80s, and now it's been transmuted into a archives for high life, because right. the old type of high life is dying out, and we're having things like Ghanaian rap and gospel music coming into the scene. So
and hip life.
Hip life and this type of star, which... So the older forms of high life have now become historic, which I never expected. I didn't expect to turn into a historian. I didn't think the music would be killed off or die off as quickly as it has. But that's the situation now. But in terms of playing music, what I've done is set up this band with Erin Bebe Sukura mm-hmm. in the university, which is composed of quite extraordinary people. I mean, every one of them is an ace player, because we recruit from the University School of Performing Arts, not the students, but from the teachers, the dance teachers, the percussion teachers. So we have a very good group. And we have also have Koju Mainu, who is the singer for Tio, the late Tio Jazz.
Right.
It's an excellent band. In fact, Local Dimension did play on the album. There was a live, I think there's one live recording.
If you mean copium, I drop what you are making waiting here. If you mean copium, I drop what you are making waiting here. I worry about what me call ya, da kuntungunino ya. I worry about what me call ya, da prisino ya. I worry about what me call ya, da rewono ya. So I drop a chana me wedenia. If me no a quite now, I drop a chaba muye deni. Among the sebre quata, or the port to a mother bravo mew. Binam said, dear moon, no, now month were coming with ya. Yay. Binam said, dear moon, no, now month were coming with ya.
John, thank you very much. Bokor, stay cool, be happy.